You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
And welcome to another edition of KSL at Night. I'm your host this evening, KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis, and I'm joined with Adam Gardner, who, Adam, I don't know you. I just met you tonight. I know you did a show last week, and I've been told that they love you, so you're going to be a regular with us.
If I knew you, that might be bad, because we probably met in a courtroom
somewhere. Right, yeah, okay, good,
so
yeah.
I feel okay about that. But
we don't have an attorney-client relationship.
Not at all. Yet. Not at all.
Okay, good. Well, just briefly, I've been sort of hearing about who you are. You're a former Salt Lake County recorder. What period of time did you serve?
So if you remember when Gary, there was kind of a scandal with Gary Ott. He had dementia. His family sued, actually, to resign on his behalf.
Okay.
And so I was serving. It wasn't that long ago. It was in 2017. I was actually serving my first term in the Utah State House.
Okay.
So I represented West Jordan in the State House, and then this came up, and a few employees had asked me to run for the seat, and there were nine others that ran for that seat in a special election. And I ended up winning, and so
you weren't in the office. You weren't his chief deputy.
I was not
because
in
I
the
thought there was somebody in the office that was trying to get
there. I did run against the chief deputy in the office.
All right,
And then a Salt Lake County council member ran for the seat. A former legislator ran for the seat. So it was kind of like a mixed bag of folks that were running, and so there were 10 of us. It was crazy. We did the election in one night, and then I resigned my seat in the House the next day. And took over at 8 in the morning.
What house district did you have?
It was, I represented like where Gardner Village is. Jordan
Midvale.
Landing.
Midvale,
yeah, so from West the Midvale Jordan. Border just over to the West Jordan Airport.
And then you went and worked with Mitt Romney?
I did, and that was a great experience.
My favorite Republican senator in Utah history.
Mine too. He was a fantastic boss, and I really got to know him very well. I didn't come from Romney world.
Right.
I was a nobody to him. But I got to know his chief of staff, Matt Waldrop, really well, who was a good friend. And, I lost my election. I was telling you earlier, the voters said I did such a great job. I was not invited to come back, as the Salt Lake County recorder. So I lost my job on a Tuesday, on election night. And then on a Saturday, I was hired by Mitt Romney. And that was a kind of a dream come true to be his state director and set up his state office. And, yeah, what a great guy to work for.
You and I have a little bit of similar experience, and I'll digress for just a second, but a sort of a Democrat wave came through that year because of an issue that was on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I was the chief deputy Salt Lake County attorney in 1986, and a huge Republican wave came in, and they ousted all the Democrats, and I was, because I was the chief in the office, I had the only non-merit position.
Out of a job.
When you just said, Tuesday I had a job, and Wednesday I didn't. I know just how you get
You know what that's like.
Yeah, you landed on your feet very well. That's pretty impressive. But now you do some lobbying. I need to ask you a question, and if you can't answer this, I completely understand. But was the – you were at the Salt Palace Convention Center on Saturday for the Republican Convention. A lot of us have heard various accounts of that from
– They're all true.
Okay, because Axon, the Republican state chair, really sort of dialed it back and said, well, it really wasn't as bad as it seemed. But I'm listening to our lieutenant governor, Deirdre Henderson, who said it was just awful. And I don't know what your take is. And
so
you're not running right now. So you could.
I'm not running for anything. I was a delegate. My opinion is this. There were some folks who had it a lot worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
If you were wearing I think a lot of it was blown out of proportion. Like I heard and saw in the Twitterverse that it was very racist and there were all these whites. I never saw any of that. So I can't speak to that.
Okay.
And I was there for a very long time.
Yeah, you said we 15 of 17 hours.
15 of 17 hours I was there. So I didn't see any of that at all. But what I did see is if you were wearing a Spencer Cox button or shirt, you are going to get yelled at
seriously
by someone. And I saw it over and over and over again that night. I was wearing a hat for a congressional candidate that I supported, and supporters of their opponent would come up to me and, "How dare you support someone like that?"
Oh, really?
And it was, I've never had that before. I think the reason, there were a lot of people that were on edge because it was so long. Everyone was so tired. Right. I get that. Just to check in, to get my credentialing was 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So you started out pretty cranky.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the governor was handing out pizza and I got none of it. So I was even more upset.
The governor that people were lambasting a little bit.
They took his food though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bet they did. So I just wanted to get a take from somebody who was on the ground there. I mean, the Democrats had their usual sort of boring convention at Cottonwood High School, my alma mater, by the way, nominated their cadre of candidates. And I think they're sort of touting that they had some organization and things were better. But I don't know. We still have, and I know we're supposed to be talking about something else here, but I really love picking brains of people like you. Don't you think that even though the signature gathering process has been under so much criticism, that kind of saves the day when you have a convention that goes off the rails a little bit? I just ask your honest opinion about that.
I mean, my honest opinion is yeah, I think it kind of does. I kind of take heart in knowing that at the end of the day, we're still going to have a robust primary system. And you can't just take over a convention for your candidate. Like, that's kind of nice. It's a good insurance policy, I think, for a candidate.
Would you do it again? Would you be a delegate?
I have done it for 20 years, and I'm probably going to do it again. So, I am a glutton for punishment.
And so I have seen that, I'm looking at a cartoon that was in the Tribune the next day that Pat Bagley did, and I know we're associated with the Deseret News, but it was a really funny cartoon that had Lyman at the convention writing a mastodon, and they had as Cox at the primary writing a much, much bigger elephant and saying, okay, the convention was one thing, but the primary election is going to be quite different. Do you think that that's I don't necessarily want you to pick out that particular race, but were there, do you think that dust will settle or there'll be some?
Well, he gave actually a really, Spencer Cox gave a great speech to prove his point. I kind of
people that heard it.
I have a conspiracy theory that he tried to get as few votes as possible,
really,
because that would widen the gap of his victory in a primary, and he could go, "See, you guys were off by that much."
Oh,
and so that's my own conspiracy theory. I have no idea if it's true, but you had Mitt Romney lost by 1% in convention, and he got 72%
right
in primary. Governor Herbert lost by 10% and he got 65% in a primary. So, I don't know this. We don't have a crystal ball, but if I had to guess, I think we're going to see a chasm like that again.
Let me ask you about another race. We were supposed to talk about something else this segment, but
I loved picking your brain
before the show started. Celeste Malloy's district.
Yeah.
That one was a bit of a surprise because Mike Lee comes out, supports her opponent, Colby Jenkins, I think.
Yeah, and we're going to have him on the show today.
And that was a race that was close enough that she almost didn't make it to the primary because she didn't go
she did not gather signatures.
And she ended up with just over the 40%. That was risky for her.
So a lot of candidates used Mike Lee's endorsement in their speeches and said, "I was endorsed by Mike Lee." They used it on mail pieces, et cetera. And it didn't do a lot for them. The difference in the Colby Jenkins race is for some reason, Mike Lee went all in on Colby and he actually introduced him and spoke on the stage for Colby. And that's where I think it made a real difference. And then Congresswoman Malloy came up right after and kind of went against Senator Lee and called him out in her speech. So some fireworks.
Well, I'm anxious to get back on track with our show that we actually wrote up tonight, but I'm glad that you allowed me to pick your brain. When we come back after the break, we are going to talk with Colby Jenkins, Republican candidate for Congressional District 2. Stay with us.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. through this week. Come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.